Hi, I'm Contagion. This is episode 10 of What's It Like? My guest is Andrew Bosley, artist extraordinaire. So tell me, Andrew, how did you get into art?
I've always been interested in art. My parents teased me a bit because I started with the walls and drew all over those, and then I guess eventually I learned that there was paper in the world, and so I jumped to that, and it really has just been a passion for me for my whole life. It's just something that I enjoyed, and I was fortunate enough to get a lot of great support from my parents and family and friends, and so it was something that seemed like a great way to go.
Did you take art classes, like private lessons, when you were growing up?
When I was growing up, I did not. There was a time, it was very funny. I thought I was so amazing when I was much younger because I prided myself on having never taken art classes.
Of course. A real genius never has lessons.
Well, that's what I thought in my immature mind at the time. As I got older and wiser, I learned or realized how valuable art instruction was. And my first real art class was actually in the fourth grade. I took a community college little class during the summer, and it was a great thing. It was maybe it was a little bit later. I think it was my fourth. I associate with fourth grade because I think it was my fourth grade teacher's husband who was teaching the class. Anyway, it was a really great opportunity. The teacher was the instructor was a good artist, and he was a kind of a cartoonist, and he just kind of encouraged us to do what we wanted and enjoy it. And he just kind of come around and instruct us in just little bits of things. It was more of a creativity thing, and but there were a lot of lessons that several lessons that I remember from that particular class that still stick with me. I was even thinking about one of them just a couple days ago, even. So it was a very impactful class for me. But after that, didn't really. That was still like in elementary school, junior high. Didn't do much classes in art, but high school I started to take classes more seriously, and just the ones that were offered at school, and they gave me lots of great opportunities to develop that. So
when did you decide that you would like to do it as a profession?
I think I always wanted to. I think that was, I don't know. I probably realized I had no hope in any other thing. So I think I put all my eggs in one basket type of thing, and worked really hard towards that from a very early age. So it was always up in the air as to what I would do in art, but I think it was always, I always knew I wanted to be in art.
Did you have a major challenge to achieve while studying art?
Like a goal or something I had to overcome?
Something overcome. Was it something particularly difficult for you?
There's a lot of stuff that's still particularly difficult for me right now, but at the time, honestly, I don't think I didn't recognize what I needed to develop until I left high school. And I think I lived in a little bit of a bubble up until I graduated from high school. I thought, look at me. I did the yearbook cover, I've got it made. But when I started college, I got laid low very quickly, and in comparison to the other students that were out there, I did have quite a bit to overcome from that point. I had a really wonderful experience in high school with art, but it was kind of a, I guess you could say, a double-edged sword with this one, because my high school teacher was extremely supportive. Wonderful teacher, really motivated me to work really hard. But most of my art classes, she gave me the flexibility to focus on things like art competitions in the community and things like that, which I participated in and I did well in. But in taking the time to do those things, I really skipped over and glossed over many of the foundations of art that I should have known by that time. And when I went to college, I was well behind in just understanding basics of art. I could draw well, and I could, render, a picture decently, but I didn't understand color. I didn't understand composition. And if I had let my ego go to the side a little bit and spent more time just focusing on developing better skills, I would have helped myself out a bit more. So that was something I had to overcome a lot. I still feel much of that. And that's nothing I put on a teacher or anything like that. My overall experience in high school was fantastic for art, but that was one choice that I made to focus in a different way. I saw some consequences to that that I've had to overcome since then.
Well, give me the short course. If I wanted to become an artist, what kinds of things do I need to know?
Well, there's a lot of basics that are fundamental to every artist, I think. You need to know color. You need to know composition. Assuming you're wanting to be a 2D artist, meaning paintings and drawing and that side of art. You need to know how to create a pleasant picture. But again, that's composition, color.
Do you look at other artists and copy their styles so you can discover how to do things?
I have. Mm-hmm. That's a very good practice. All the masters did it. All the illustrators of great American illustrators of the past have done that. That's a good, solid practice to do. I've done that. I haven't done that a whole bunch. But I've taken figure painting classes where, I had multiple assignments that my entire assignment was find an artist you like and paint in their style, and then paint this figure and stuff. And you learn from their techniques, and you dissect their paintings, and you see how their process worked. And I'm still doing that a lot now, although I'm not purposely sitting down and saying, okay, I'm going to do this painting in this person's style, but I'm constantly looking at other artists and they're a huge influence on me. And I don't think you can be a successful artist without immersing yourself in other influences and letting that shape you. I don't think you can, a lot of this stuff comes from yourself, but you can't take for granted all the amazing people and talent that has come hundreds and hundreds of years before you did, who knew these things better than we do. And we're just trying to follow in their footsteps and stuff. So I would say that, there's definitely other skills that would be important depending on what avenue of art you're going into, but understanding how to draw people and know what people look like and stuff like that, is important for me in my career. So that required a great deal of figure drawing courses, anatomy courses, and that's something that a lot of people take for granted, but is an extremely important part of my career.
What do you actually do?
I'm a concept artist for a video game company called Red Storm Entertainment out here in North Carolina.
That's like Ghost Recon.
That is Ghost Recon, uh-huh. Yes. Yes, we were formed by Tom Clancy. It was founded by Tom Clancy, the writer, I believe back in 1996. And a lot of his books we turned into games. And then actually, interestingly, some of his book titles actually started as games that we worked on. But anyway, I work here at Red Storm, and my job as a concept artist is to... One, create inspirational pieces that give inspiration for the rest of the team. So it might be very high level concept stuff that is, you know, it's paint a scene, you know, that kind of shows the emotion, the excitement, the mood of this game, even though we haven't had a whole lot of time to figure out exactly what it's going to look like. Paint a picture of what this is going to feel like, and we're going to put those up on the wall, and they're going to help motivate, you know, for some time until we can get real art, you know, finished artwork up and about.
Is this how the player is supposed to feel, or what the game is supposed to look like, or both?
Both. At that level, you know, the concept artist is often working with concept artists are often there before art directors, before producers, before a core team is around. We have in the gaming industry, there's a position, a person who's called a creative designer. And they're the ones who have come up with the idea for this game, and they have their goals of what they want to feel like. And so often, I mean, I've been teamed up with just me and a creative designer, and we just take, you know, we just spend time trying to get his ideas that are in his head and put them into a picture that could illustrate, you know, what it would feel like to play this game. Years even before the actual, you know, the actual pieces in the game were actually made. That's one aspect of it. Another part of the being a concept artist is it's a lot more supportive in the production of the game. You know, if we know there's going to be a character in this game and we know he's a soldier in the case of Ghost Recon games, well, what kind of soldier is he? What type of role does he play? What sort of equipment does he carry, and those sort of things. So my job would be to give the art director 20 different possible ideas, quickly drawn, quickly painted, much faster than a 3D artist could make, you know, make a 3D model of it. The game, I can sketch up ideas for the art director, and he can say, okay, I like this part of this character, and I like this part of this one. Can you mix the two together and that, you know, and then give me, you know, maybe three more variations on that, and we'll pick one.
So it's part of the brainstorming process.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then after the art director has selected the style and look that he wants, what happens then?
That concept art is taken and given then to the production artists, the character artists who are working in 3D programs, and they're the ones that are making, you know, the characters that you will see in the game, and they're following that concept as closely as the art director would like them to. We like to think that it's a blueprint that they should be following fairly closely most of the time.
And they think it's something that should inspire them?
Sometimes, yes. But you know, I've actually learned quite a bit, you know, from working here and with other companies, you know, that's not it's not a hard and set rule on how that's supposed to work. For art directors, they only want it to be inspiration. And so, as a result, I don't spend a lot of time, you know, doing this really finished painting. I give them the rough idea. They like it. It's good for them to go, and then they just give it to the character artist or environment artist, who then is allowed some creative freedom themselves, but following certain guidelines, you know, based on the concept, and then they can kind of run with it in their direction, with the art director approving it along the way. So,
do you ever feel like you would like to take one of those paintings and continue it on to its fruition?
As in creating the actual stuff for the game?
No, I was thinking more of the painting itself.
Sure. I really enjoy that. I mean, for me, what's really fun about being a concept artist is you're telling a story with a lot of picture, you know, with each of your pictures. It's, you know, I may have just a soldier here, but, you know, a concept artist is dying to add a backstory to this soldier. You know, what's being told in the things he's, you know, carrying with him? You know, how is he a real person with a real history? And, you know, once we've created that character, you know, it's really fun to be able to then take that character, and sometimes we get to do this, you know, put that character in a real situation, or and then tell a story through a full illustration. We sometimes get to do that, which is a fun process, a fun opportunity.
Have you created a concept art of yourself?
Ooh. I don't think I have. I did, actually, in high school, I did have an assignment where I was supposed to draw a character that represented me, and it was very... very interesting. It was I was like part Rastafarian or something like that, and very short. I remember in my picture, that's all I remember. But I don't know if it's an image I care to think about too much. But
so, is the best part of your job the quick creative part?
I like it a lot. I think that's I love to see when things are done effectively and efficiently, and so the creative part is really important to me. I like being able to solve problems, and the way we are doing that is by, you know, giving these art directors multiple options to solve their problems and come up with creative solutions to them. That's a very fun part to me. Where it bogs down, where it becomes difficult for me personally, is when that process breaks down and people are slow to make decisions or things like that, because the role of the concept artist is to do things fast and to give people options quickly to choose from, and then to give them back to us, and we narrow it down and it's a neat experience when it can happen in a short and but effective time frame, and so I like to see when that actually happens, and when that's happening, then so problems are really being solved, and we usually are given the amount of time that's necessary to be creative and come up with great ideas. So,
what has surprised you about your job?
I've been surprised a little bit in myself. I'm trying to think of the right way to say this. How much I want to be involved in a variety of aspects of this creative process. I used to believe that, you know, I used to be very content with just drawing pictures, but when you get to be so creative and come up with interesting stories and all these other things, I want to get involved in the. Sometimes I want to be the writer. I want to be the director. I want to be the. That's been a surprise to me. I used to just be happy with drawing pictures, but now I really look for opportunities to take the reins in things whenever I can to help things along. So,
would you like to make your own game from start to finish?
Sure, that would be fun. I think games is kind of I love games. I play games. If I wasn't careful, I'd play games all day long and all night long. But I'm an illustrator before I'm a gamer or a concept artist. So my ideal is really still picture books. Is what I always dreamed of doing. And so my ideal would be to write and illustrate start to finish my own children's book, or maybe an animated short someday. Just tell I love to tell quick stories.
Mm-hmm. So Dr. Seuss.
Sure, that works. my style is a little bit less psychedelic and.
Oops, you still there?
Yeah, sorry, I was starting getting some feedback. So.
We'll be right back with Andrew Bosley after this reminder. It's a reminder of the good work being done by St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. I know what you're thinking. Why are children doing research? It is, after all, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. But no, it's actually a lot of grown-ups doing research on diseases children have. And you can help. Go to their website. It's sdjude.org. Click on the donate button. It costs over $1 million a day to operate St. Jude's. Don't worry, I'm not asking you to give the whole amount. I'm just asking you to chip in. So go to stjude.org. I also added St. Jude's to my Facebook page. After all, how could you not like St. Jude's? So, Andrew, everybody needs self-motivation sometimes. How do you give yourself a kick in the pants?
Ooh, boy. Well, I feel blessed to be a fairly self-motivated by nature for myself. I'm like Adrian Monk. My art is a blessing and a curse at times for me. It seems I cannot put it down. So, or it's always in my head and sometimes can be disruptive for the rest of my life. But things, but I do need motivating at times still. And for me as an artist, it's seeing other people's artwork. Like I said, I'm constantly looking at other people's artwork all the time on the internet. That's such a great forum for sharing your artwork and seeing other people's stuff. And I am constantly amazed, often frustrated at seeing awesome artists that are 10 years younger than me, and so I'm like, okay, I need to get working. I'm going to get out of the job.
And when you need to calm down, how do you soothe yourself?
Spending time with my family is probably the, you know, I there's always a certain time that is set aside for my family. I don't, so that's, can be a soothing time. Certainly after all my kids are in bed and I'm spending time with my wife, that is is the calming time of the day, but the most calm. But I make sure that I take a break from art to the best that I can as soon as I step in the door from work until all the kids are in bed. And so that's a nice time for us to just kind of spend together and play games and whatnot. And that's, for me, that's a nice break. And I like that a lot.
Is there an event in your life that has challenged you to your core?
Whew. Artistically, I'm assuming you're talking about here.
Any part of your life.
Any part of my life. Yeah, there have been many many experiences that challenged me quite a bit. Artistically, I would say all artists, I think, struggle with confidence in their own artwork. They may not look like they struggle with that. I struggle with it a great deal. If only you knew about all of my experiences today, you know, there was enough for me to be I am constantly unsatisfied with my own work. And so for me, I think the challenge that is, I mean, I could come up with a single event, and I've had multiple single events that have been challenging to me, but they all could kind of be summed up in just trying to overcome this self-doubt for me. But that's something that's a big struggle for me is I'm very happy with what I've achieved. I've worked really hard to do what I can, and I've been blessed a great deal. But I still struggle every day with, I cannot believe I still have a job here. I can't believe these people want to hire me. Someday, someone's going to, you know, I won't be able to trick them anymore, and I'll be out of a job. But
it's funny to hear you say that, because I know your art and you are extremely good.
Well, thank you. I think there's just some sort of bug in us artists that often are not satisfied, at least, and it probably isn't a very much an internal thing, but it's unfortunate.
My wife is gives me pep talks on a regular basis.
Good for her.
And stuff. Yes, she's very, very kind.
Yes. Well, listen to her. She's a smart lady.
Well, I try to do that as much as I can. But it's a funny thing, I think, for us artists. And I guess I could really only speak for myself, but I've thought that I was alone in this feeling, but the more I talk with other artists about, you know, the process of creating art, I realize that this is not something that's very unique or uncommon.
No, pretty normal. If you were giving a commencement address for high school or college, this is your opportunity to give a virtual one. What would you say?
Wow. Well, it won't sound really pretty or anything, but as if I like I maybe it could sound if I prepared, but I'm a firm believer in working hard and taking responsibility for your own success and your own opportunities. I owe everything to God, everything that I have, but I think a core part of my belief is that God is going to help us as we try to do the best that we can with the talents that we've been given. And so, you know, when I was in college, I saw so many people, talented people, just kind of sit around and not do anything with their talent. And as far as I know, they're still hanging out in the classrooms and never moving forward and creating those opportunities for themselves. And then I saw others in those same settings who worked hard no matter what their circumstances, and they are extremely successful and or very content and happy, and that's something that I look back at I didn't understand or appreciate the importance of hard work as much until I went to college or left high school, at least. I saw great examples in my parents and others, but it was not until going to college and when I first went to San Jose State, I was already married at the time, and when I graduated, I had two kids, and we had our first son when we were was only a year into school, so we had four more years with children, and my wife, we had decided before even getting married that she was going to stay home with our children when. Anyway, long story short, I had to work really hard, and I was motivated, and I had every reason to just say, hey, you know, look at everything I'm doing. You know, I don't have time to put into all the work that I need to here. But I deserve this. I'm doing other things. I'm really busy. I deserve, you know, this degree. I deserve a job. I deserve all these things. But that's not the way things work. You have to work hard at it. And I'm very fortunate that hard work paid off. I am a real believer that we can be successful. You know, we can, there's so many opportunities out there. It just requires us to put the effort into it, and we can create those opportunities for ourselves. It may not be exactly what we thought it was going to be, but they can be there, and you know, you can make them if you're creative and you're just trying your hardest.
You grew up Mormon.
Yes.
And went on mission to London?
Uh-huh.
What was that experience like for you?
It was an amazing experience. It was 2 years. Spent in different parts of the London area, England countryside area, about half in the country, half in the city. Spent most of my time talking to people about my church specifically, but about Christ and about service and having opportunities to serve others while I was there in many different capacities. It was an amazing experience, and I miss it very, very much. I love the people there, and I have not had a chance to be with those people since I left. So it's something I miss a great deal.
Were you able to see the art, the galleries while you were there?
I did. I actually had a really interesting experience. So one day during the schedule, the schedule for missionaries, LDS missionaries is pretty full and strict. But once a week, there's a day that's kind of set aside for, you know, taking care of logistics, you know, washing clothes and getting some exercise, you know, just having kind of a day to relax a little bit and then prepare as well for the rest of the week. But one of those days, my companion and I decided to go down to London, central London, and visit the National Gallery, which is just a huge gallery of just amazing stuff. I mean, so many pieces. And we happened to go on the day that they were having a Rembrandt exhibit. They had gotten, I think, 95% of all the self-portraits that that Rembrandt had ever made, and they had them all in one room. And so we went to go see that, and funny experience. And of course, saw a whole bunch of great paintings, some Van Goghs and Picassos and a whole bunch of other people. At the time, I didn't actually know many of them. I hadn't even taken art history class until I got back from my mission, but appreciated them from hindsight. But went to go and see the Rembrandts one day. I knew who he was, but was not allowed to get in because some VIP was already there. And I'll make the long story short, because I make it a long story when I tell my friends when there's more time. But we were waiting in a foyer right outside of this room that had all the Rembrandt paintings. And we're just standing there waiting, looking at the paintings that are in this small room, this adjoining room. And out come all these people, very fancy dressed people. And finally, after, you know, some other tough men in suits, there came this short, old, elderly woman all dressed in blue with a really blue hat. And, I kind of had a little, you know, I was like, you know, these people made us wait for the Rembrandt. I don't know who they are, but I'm not going to make a big deal about them. So just sit there standing, looking at this painting I was looking at, and this elderly blue woman came and sat and stood next to me looking at the same painting. And then went on our way, and they closed the Rembrandt room, and we actually couldn't get in there again. So we moved on, and then as we, like 10 minutes later, we see this crowd of people out at some other part of the museum, and everybody's running to take pictures of some person. And so I thought, well, I better go take a picture. And I didn't even know who it was. I didn't even know it was the lady in blue, and get a picture of her. And people are singing "God Save the Queen," and it turns out it's the Queen Mum that I was standing right next to. So you wanted to know about the artwork, and I got a picture of the Queen Mum at the National Gallery. So that's probably as much as I appreciated at the time, anyway, since I didn't have an understanding of art history like I would eventually get after going to school. So
cool. But, now we have to call you Sir Andrew.
Sir Andrew, yes. Yes, she knighted me. Well, yes.
Well just yeah. As we were, who would know?
Yeah. Who would know? It's a funny thing, though, actually, talking about art. I went to some museums. I didn't totally appreciate them at the time, but I actually was exposed to some artwork in a very unique way out there that has actually had a lot more impact on me since then. They had a very... a big travel industry out there by train in particular. And there's a long history of the rail systems in the UK. So many of these towns all about the country, you know, all over the country just have postcards, you know, advertising. I can hold one up in my studio here. You can see it, I think. I collected several of these postcards advertising these towns. Felixstowe, it's quicker by rail. Or Cromer, gem of the Norfolk coast. These artists are like no names. You know, nobody remembers any of them, but the art they created for these things were stunning and amazing. And
do you have one for Raleigh, North Carolina that you've created? No.
I don't. They didn't make any.
No? Now you have the opportunity.
Now I do. I need to.
My last question is to help me make this a better process. Think of a defining moment in your life that we haven't talked about. What should I have asked you in order to get you to tell that story?
Oh, boy. I don't know if I'm going to be much help here. I'm trying to think of defining moments that we haven't, haven't talked about.
Well, maybe we did good.
I think we did good. I must say, my faith is extremely important to me. And it's my faith, I think, that made it possible for a lot of the other things in my life that are very important to me. My family, my art. I think my family and my faith come above my art, but it's kind of a trifecta there.
So, nice combination.
I don't know if you know, this is about art primarily, but you know, if you were to ask any more about what motivated me, and this is not a critique of course at all, but you asked me to tell you, I would probably say that would be a part of what makes me as an artist, as a person, who I am is a great deal about my faith, and that started that certainly started at an early age because I was raised in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but there was a time for me where that was I was no longer riding on the coattails of my parents, and that was something having a faith in Christ became a very personal experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
But, if you ever want to do a part two, then.
Are you familiar with the work of Frederick Andrew Bosley?
Oh, that is a really funny thing. No, I'm not too familiar with him, but he keeps upstaging me on these Google searches. I put Andrew Bosley in there sometimes when my ego is getting too big and I want to say, who is anybody talking about me? And Frederick Andrew Bosley always comes up before me, and he's an artist too. And so it's frustrating, but
he was born in like 1840s or something. So I, you know, you're probably more famous.
Well, I don't know. I guess I'm living, and I exist in the Google era, and he's like way there, and he's lived up to be able to exist during this digital era. So I think he's definitely a much more popular person. Though I need to look up his art a little bit more and appreciate it because he's like my namesake. So
that's true, but I think it's mostly oil paintings and a bit dull. So you know, yours has a lot more vibrancy to the colors.
At least he won't be taking my job.
I think you're safe.
It's these young college kids that are going to watch this, listen to this interview, and maybe be motivated. I hope they're motivated, but I don't want them to look for my job. Or it's not where I'm working.
Yes, we'll tell them to look somewhere else.
Yes, tell them to look somewhere else.
My thanks to Andrew Bosley for joining me. Thanks, Andrew. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Ken. I appreciate the opportunity.